Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to two bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. And visit reallifesci-fi.show for all of your Real Life Sci-Fi needs. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF from the movie Monster Mash. And you can find his food review show called Snack to the Future on TikTok, Instagram, and all the socials. It's actor Ian Hummel. What up, Ian?
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here, dude.
What up, dude? Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't been on yet. That's my bad.
I think the last time I bumped into you was a couple years ago at the car wash.
Yeah. Ian's got a DeLorean that he souped up to look like the one from Number Two. And I was washing my El Camino. Is that what it was? Or the Mustang.
Yeah, it's actually part one. I'm a plutonium chamber guy.
Well, yeah. So that's what I was going to ask. The difference between one and two is the Mr. Fusion.
Yeah, for the sake of technically, the Mr. Fusion shows up at the end of part one, but for the sake of just
because he throws a banana peel in it and shit. Yeah. So, but is that the only difference, or is the tubes and stuff different?
No, that's pretty much the only difference is the addition of Mr. Fusion.
How far did you do the inside too? Do you have the little flux capacitor behind you and stuff?
Yeah, for sure. That was probably the first thing I ever put in. For a while during the build, I was doing a lot of exterior stuff. And then over time, I realized that everyone outside of the world gets to enjoy the car except me because I'm inside. So then I started focusing on the interior and adding all the lights and buttons to make it, you know, fun while I'm driving.
What all is in there? Like, so you got the date thing, right? The little console with the date where you set the date and stuff.
Yeah, the time circuits.
And then
and they all make the right noises.
They make really?
Yeah, it's got sound effects. It's pretty fun.
They don't do anything, right? You can you can adjust them, but then it's just for show. It'd be cool if it turned your AC on or something.
Oh, that would be fun. No, the only thing that I did do is there's like a control box next to the driver's seat. And I've wired things to some of the switches so that like I'll flick a switch and then the flux capacitor turns on, or I'll flick another switch and then the exterior lights on the flux bands will light up. So some stuff operates.
Did you just happen to see a DeLorean on sale and then buy it, or what? How did this whole thing start?
Oh man, this happened about 10 years ago at this point. My daily driver car was paid off. And instead of doing the responsible thing and saving some money, the first thought I had was, great, now what can I do with this money? And I don't know how I came up with that idea, but one of the first things that came into my head is, man, I want a DeLorean. And, you know, ever since I was a kid, it seemed like something not real. Like I saw one driving on the highway one time. To me, it was like seeing a unicorn. Like I've seen it in movies, but I don't know that I actually believed it existed in real life.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Chatsworth, in the valley.
Oh, okay. Because I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen one in the wild. I don't think, outside of coming to Hollywood and being on sets and stuff. Willie, did you ever? When was the
I've
first
seen
time
a couple. And I'm one of those people that, like, you know, I'll try to take a selfie as it's driving by, like, oh my gosh, there's one too. I always thought I was going to get one too. And I was like looking into used prices and found out weird things. Like they don't come with AC units and they're not waterproof, like from the bottom. So it's like,
they do have AC. They're not quite waterproof. I've left mine parked out on the street when it started raining and came out to a puddle in the on the floor in the morning. So I had to be a lot more careful.
Is that just because of the doors?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely need to redo my weather stripping, but I even think when it's fresh and brand new, you still get some leakage. I could be wrong. Maybe some other DeLorean owners out there could shut me down and say, mine's completely waterproof, but mine isn't.
And then, like, what's the story with the DeLoreans? Because, like, they're kind of pieces of shit, right? Like, didn't that company, like, go out of business?
They underperformed. I mean, I don't know a lot of the details about it, but I know that it had electrical issues. Johnny Carson, I believe, was one of the financial backers, and he famously got locked in his and couldn't get out.
Wow.
Yeah. Can you imagine? There weren't cell phones back then. Can you imagine just seeing a DeLorean pulled over on the side of the road and someone fucking banging on the window?
It's Johnny Carson.
Johnny, is that you?
Banging on the window, spelling help.
Well, that's great, so when you man. And then that's why you have your socials called Snack to the Future, reviewing snacks. The last place you went to, or the one you got pinned with the burger place, you said something that really hit me that I need to go try. He was talking about this smash burger and talking about the meat to cheese ratio. And like, that's all I ever talk about is how important the meat to cheese ratio is.
It's so important. There is such thing as getting too many patties. That used to be me. I was like, triple burger. Hell yeah. Let's do it. It's too much.
Well, yeah. But Willie's ratio is not like anyone else. I mean, he'll go there and he'll say not enough cheese. So his ratio is bonkers.
Yeah.
Well, it's a preference. Like at In-N-Out, I don't do double-double. I do double-single, which is two patties, one cheese.
Right. That's not good. That's even for me, that's too little cheese.
Well, yeah. Do a double-triple. See what happens.
So what's the concept of the show? You just drive around in your DeLorean and review food?
That's basically it. What's funny about this is my wife tried to get me to do this about 9 years ago, and I didn't get it. I didn't get social media. I was turning into that old guy. Like, I don't understand today's music. But here I am. She ran it by me again, maybe 4 months ago. She's like, I really think there's an opportunity here. So I posted one video on TikTok just to see what would happen. It was unrelated to food. It was just a video, right? Of the someone loading plutonium into the chamber in the back. And it's almost at 3 million views now.
Whoa.
And so for the first video, I was like, all right. I mean, I'm sure I got lucky with that first hit, but that was
that's all you need though, and then you just ride that wave, you know.
Man,
it slowly goes down.
They'd probably do that on purpose. Your first video, they give you big hits, like, yeah, bring them in.
How does that work? Do you make any money off of it?
There are ways to get monetized. There's certain parameters you have to hit, like a following count and so many likes, and I'm getting there.
You gotta start reaching out to sponsors, you know, like shampoo or something.
Shampoo would be a good one. DeLorean.
I don't know why. I just feel like every TikToker has a shampoo.
Oh, really? Is that a thing?
It would be funny to see you shampooing your hair in the DeLorean.
It's just in my brain. It is.
As it's raining, the car isn't waterproof.
Yeah. And then you're also eating food. And it's just like, what am I watching? This guy's in a DeLorean. Washing his hair and eating food?
My social media's gone too far. You're just trying to do all the videos in one.
Well, so hang on, because I still have questions about how you got this DeLorean. Like, because I've looked up buying DeLoreans online, and they're like what, 30 grand or something like that.
Oh man, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Are they a lot more now?
Yeah, I feel like I got mine at a great time, because within the next few years after that, they started doubling and then tripling. And I mean, you might be able to find one for 30 grand. It's just the condition of it is going to be probably not great. It's going to be a private car.
Why do you think it's gone up recently? There hasn't been like a lot of Back to the Future. Is it just because everyone who loves Back to the Future finally has disposable income and they can go buy a DeLorean?
That was my theory. I think everyone who grew up with that movie when I did are now adults with disposable income, and
right,
they had the same idea I did. I want a DeLorean. But then after that, you start having the anniversaries, like, you know, 2015 was an anniversary, and now it's the 40th anniversary this year.
Okay. I mean, that sounds cool. I want to see it. Do you drive it around?
Yeah, quite often, honestly.
Do you get a lot of looks, or so cool, or is it?
It's nonstop. For the most part, it's fun. I never get tired of seeing what it means to people and the facial expressions I'll see on someone on the side of the road, just literal jaw drops. But there's a downside to it. Sometimes it's ironic. I can't be in a hurry if I'm in the time machine, because anytime I park, I'm going to be having conversations with a lot of people.
Right.
And I try to stay in good spirits about it, but it does get old having to answer the same questions over and over again.
Yeah. What are the main questions?
Where's the flux capacitor? That's number one.
Oh, fuck. So I just did the exact same shit.
Yeah.
You should carry a folded up piece of paper and be like, and then pull it out.
Do the Biff thing, right?
It'd be funny if I mess with him, like, I haven't designed any time machine yet, and show them the drawing. I was like, I just drew this today. I always wanted to mess with people too, and like just drive into a parking lot, like just screeching and open the door. What year is it?
All right. So check out Snack to the Future. You can just search it on any of these socials, and it comes up, right?
Yeah, the social handle is DMCBTTF. That's DeLorean Motor Company, Back to the Future.
Okay, well, we do something here on the show called the WOW Scale. It stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. At the end of the quiz, I'll give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5.
Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to be Wade on the WOW Scale?
Ask me? Hell yeah.
Okay, get ready. First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay, all right. Very definitive. I feel like I know where we're headed. Let's find out. What about ghosts?
Oh, for sure.
Do you have any ghost stories?
I don't. I wish I did. I mean, I felt weird energy sometimes and, you know, the occasional light flickering, but nothing major. No doors slamming.
Yeah. Plus you're from Chatsworth. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
No ghosts in Chatsworth.
No, the town is dead, but I guess the people aren't.
Just the town.
I got a quick one just to throw in there because it's brand new. We were coming up the stairs, me and Moose, and he said he saw a black shadowy creature go from one neighbor's window into the other. And I was like, what? Was it a person? He was like, no, it was just a shadow. So that was pretty cool. I'm like,
nice.
Kind of scary, but we salted and saged the place after that.
Why? I thought you wanted ghosts.
Whatever it is, I'm like, I don't want to deal with it right now.
You also got to be careful. All right. Not all ghosts are equal.
What are they going to do? What are they going to do?
Plenty. I've seen movies, man. They can go south really fast.
Okay, question number 3, Bigfoot.
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
Woo-woo.
No one says yes to Bigfoot.
I feel like the main image of the Bigfoot, like with the walk, I feel like that one was maybe a hoax, but I've seen other compelling videos.
All right. This one's a little ambiguous. The Illuminati.
Who? Probably.
Which version of the Illuminati do you probably believe in?
I don't know that I'm familiar with many.
Well, okay. This is why we've been saying we need to change this question, but there's the Illuminati that's just like the shadow government that runs everything. That's the rich guys who just are all colluding to ruin the world, right?
Okay.
And then there's the Illuminati that's like telling Beyonce to turn into Sasha Fierce so that she can like give her soul to the devil and sell more albums.
It's a satanic worshiping, influencing young people thing that somehow. Right.
No, I don't think that's it. But I sure would not be surprised if there were like a faction of Illuminati that is it widely accepted that they're trying to destroy the world?
No, that's just me. That's just my cynicism.
There are a couple, like, you know, you picture the New World Order. They want to get the population under control so that there's less people to be able to revolt. But population control is a part of some Illuminati's and the New World Order. So,
but that could be a good thing, right? I mean, if we're overpopulated.
I mean, there's a lot of room to expand. I mean, we haven't tapped out Earth.
Right. I know. And then it's like, I understand measures to prevent population from getting out of control. But if it's too many and you're working on taking the numbers down, that's That sucks.
I don't know. It's been a long time since I've read anything about this subject, but maybe I got it wrong, but I feel like the Illuminati was somehow related to like Knights Templar, like a group of people who really knew what was going on in the world and hold knowledge and secrets. And I don't necessarily associate them with domination.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, if you look at Solomon's treasure and what that was, there's debates as to if it was a treasure at all. Some people think it was information, and that information, there's different versions, no matter what conspiracy you're into. Some ideas are that the secrets to the universe. Some of them is like secrets to Jesus surviving, you know, the crucifix and having a bloodline.
Yeah, that's like the Dan Brown version, right? That's like the...
Yeah, and he took all that. That's all like real conspiracy stuff that he put into a book.
He based a lot of that off of a book called Holy Blood, Holy Grail, which...
Yeah, I've read that. It's great.
Have you? And I started to get sucked into it too, but I was a little heartbroken when it was... I think it was pretty revealed that it was a hoax.
Well, they claim that they are trying to do research and they're trying to imagine what it would be like for people living in that time and trying to relate it to us. And what they say that they make no claims that any of it's real. And so people take that as it's a hoax, but like a lot of it, was real. Like there was some guy who found something in his castle that it was a secret. It was, and the secret was so big that all of a sudden he became like a millionaire overnight.
All right. Suddenly he's got money and you wonder where that. Yeah. Okay.
And it was the church paying him off to shut up. So
Willie, what do you want to give him, a yes or a no?
I say no, because the influence and the,
I agree.
The
I agree.
Satanic. Yeah.
All right. Last question.
What a grail is, by the way. I mean, we're all familiar with the word, but at the end of the day, I don't think I know what a grail is.
Well, Indiana Jones said it was a cup. So that's just what I thought it was.
But a grail isn't a cup. Is a grail just something that is holy? And in that movie, the holy thing was a cup?
I think the grail is something that can house something. So I think that it's not a cup at all, but people associate it with a cup.
But do they associate it with a cup because of Indiana Jones? Or was that before Indiana?
No, they took that too. They took that information that he would have a carpenter's cup from people's stories. And they say it could be a dish also. Yeah, go on.
Last question. The multiverse.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. So, I mean, that's a pretty obvious four. You're a four out of five. So you're as close to a Willy as you could be without being a full-blown Willy.
Haven't had a four in a while. Congratulations.
Oh, really?
No, we really haven't. We've had a bunch of Wades recently.
That kind of makes me sad.
I know, yeah. I want the world to be more like Willy than like me, for sure. Willy, hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, the Chronovisor. Or the Vatican's time machine? Is it possible that the Catholic Church had a device that can tune into the natural radiation and sound waves of the past and view real events like watching a TV show? According to a few people, yes. Could this be real? Let's talk to our friend Ian, who has a time machine of his own tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Yeah, let's do it. Unfortunately, my time machine only moves forward 1 second at a time. So I don't know that I can relate to this Chronovisor.
Ian, do you know anything about, have you heard about this before or not?
No. This is, which is surprising.
Yeah, me too. So Willie, break it down for us a little bit.
This is all based around this one dude, and his name is Father Pellegrino Ernetti. He was born in 1925 and died in 1994.
The water guy, Pellegrino.
Yeah. He was a Benedictine monk, and he was like the Catholic Church's most famous exorcist for a long time. And he was a respected physicist and a renowned musicologist. Some people claim that he had a degree in particle physics, and that's what he was into. And some people, and I couldn't find proof of that, but he definitely was into physics. And so he's one of these scientists, you know, like Einstein, who was into, and especially, you know, particle physics is, is weird because it is the most religious of all the sciences. Because it's
real quick. I'm sorry, real quick. What year? What era was he?
Well, he died in the 90s, but he was born in 1925, so he was old. So a lot of this happened in the
but not like when I think of like Catholicism, I'm thinking like hundreds of years ago. This guy is fairly contemporary.
Yeah, I will say this up front too. Some people claim that on his deathbed he said it was fake, but I can't find proof of that either. So it's just funny for people to have an easy out. Like, no, he said when he was dead, he faked it. So here's the deal. He was using some science. That's a funny. He was using some science and was like kept antennas and whatnot and was talking to himself, asking questions, and the TV picked up some. It wasn't just a TV. He had some wires hooked up to some shit, and he heard a voice. The voice, and he was like, you know, he used to talk to his dead father a lot and say like, Dad, I wish you could help me or whatever. And in the recording or in the device he was had on in the background, his father answered him. And he was like, holy shit, that is my dad. And he referred to me as a nickname that only he knew, and they recorded it. And the guy that he was with working on this thing, they were both worried because, you know, the Catholic Church, especially this time, and I got to find out the date. I'll look it up in a second. But basically, if you're as a Catholic, when you talk to anybody beyond the grave, you're not supposed to do that. It's taboo. You're not.
That's taboo, like, in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, especially for whatever time period this was. It's like
they will exorcise a demon out of you, but don't talk to anyone.
It's a form of necromancy, I think. I think like,
oh, okay.
Somehow it's more evil than not. So it's like, get these demons out of here. It's not your dead father. It's a demon pretending to be your father.
Oh, it's
so
a trick. It's all,
yeah.
Got it.
And so
what was that movie that came out? It was like Kevin Kline or someone like that, or maybe it was like Bill Paxton. It was one of those kind of like, a talk to his dead father through a radio.
I think it's called Frequency.
That sounds right. There was a movie called Chronovisor also, which was based on a lot of these things too, but I was like, you would have remembered that name.
I don't think so.
Chronovisor.
It's relevant, but do we know what he was trying to invent? Why he had these antennas and why he was using science?
I heard it in a video. I don't remember. Let me try to find a quick answer.
Dennis Quaid. It was Frequency 2000.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's a ham radio, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, but this guy, even though he was a Benedictine monk, he was often tinkering with little science devices because he was so
he's just a gadget guy. He's just one of those dudes, right?
All these ghost hunter people have gadget guys or gadget women. I kind of want to believe this. I mean, they play with things called like spirit boxes, and I don't know the name of all of these devices they have, but they use technology and science for these spirits to speak through. This doesn't sound far-fetched. But the chronovisor, you can see also?
Well, so eventually, the church okayed it because they're like, well, listen, you're not, his idea was this. He wasn't communicating with his dead father. He thinks that he was picking up radiation from a previous time. And so that was his dad talking to him when he was younger, but somehow tapped into it. So the idea is that this is a bad parallel, but picture our aura. Aura is a weird, tricky new age thing. It's like, oh, to get a picture of your aura or whatnot, but that we all have an energy radiation signature. And so their idea was with these devices, we could make something that can watch the radiation from something of the past. And so it's not a time machine. It's a time television. Now, this came out a lot later. So this story was around for a long time. But later on, after a couple books were written, this is where they got the names of the people that helped him. Supposedly there were 12. Now, this is the Catholic Church being like, yeah, pursue this. Here's some money. And so there were 12 people that worked with him to make this thing. and only a few of the names were revealed. One of them was Fermi. What's Fermi's first name?
The guy paradox who guy?
Came up with the Fermi paradox. Edwin? Is it Edwin Fermi?
Enrico Fermi.
Enrico, thank you. So Enrico Fermi, and then they said he didn't want to say the guy's name, but he was a Japanese guy who had won the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, at that time when this was came out, there it can only be one guy who had won at that time. I can't find the guy's name.
One Japanese guy.
Yeah, and this guy was into this same kind of science, and then there was
so he just happened to like do this, and he heard a voice, and then he enlisted the help of these guys to like.
He kind of
fine-tune it or something?
Yeah, he kind of pitched the idea of building this thing to the church. And they were like, yeah. So they gave him funding and he got these people involved. Werner von Braun was on the list also. He helped make it. So they had like a particle physics guy, or an engineer. And one of the guys, he said some professor's name that people couldn't find. Yeah, right. Emmett Brown. So they got these people together and they built this thing. So supposedly they could watch things of the past, and they started by watching things that they knew they already had record of. So like, who was the Italian dictator?
Mussolini.
So they like tried to tap into a Mussolini speech, and they somehow tuned into it and watched it. And they're like, okay, this works. And so then they tried to. Right. So it's kind of it's fantastic in a lot of ways, but like it kind of makes sense to tap into the radiation of the past and watch that, because that signal shouldn't go. If you believe energy can't be destroyed, then the energy of the past is still floating around.
It's kind of fascinating. And I kind of love the idea that this could be how it worked, because it's no different than looking into space and viewing light that has just been traveling for light years to reach us, right? So you're technically looking in the past. It just took that long to reach us. But I wonder how they fine tune it to hone in on a certain.
Yeah,
radiation.
Me too. It's this weird, tricky science that you can just kind of say, but it's like, no. What do you actually do? You're not like tuning dials, you know?
Well, it's just like in Back to the Future when he says, "See the birth of Christ," and he types in December 25th. I love that. It's so stupid.
Yeah. But I picture this same science. If you could take one of our satellites out in space, if there was a telescope on it and zoom in on it, could you see in the past that way? And that could the signal come back faster? I don't know.
Well, yeah. What travels faster than light?
Well, zooming in does, right?
Sure. If you're using light to zoom in, I guess.
I mean, I wonder, okay, two questions come to mind. One, but the Catholic Church, who frowns upon talking to ghosts, to want to investigate this technology is a little, it seems to go against what they want to explore. Or we already tapped into this thing that might be a thing. So let's discover it more so that we can control it versus other people.
Yeah. Well, he pitched it as could use it to support faith. You know, it's like, look, we could go watch. And so a lot of the early things
also you could argue that the Catholic Church wants to get a hold of as much of this stuff as they can so that they can suppress it, right? In case it will challenge their
absolutely. They end up watching the past and seeing everything is wrong that they're
yeah, to. Yeah, exactly.
We gotta bury this.
Well, and so like
Jesus look sucked. At the, oh no, yeah. Our main guy
bullied it's like, everybody. It's like, our main guy.
It's the subway Jared story all over again. No.
I believe that all this ancient knowledge was in the Library of Alexandria, and it didn't actually they pulled out all the books and then burned it down. And so it's all in the Vatican. I think the Vatican, there is proof that they have miles and miles of books underneath.
Yeah.
And so the Dan Brown shit is all legit. Like they're definitely suppressing information. Anyways, the way that he pitched it to the church was we could use this to get people to fully believe. So some of the early things that they watched there, I guess that there was some saint, I forget his, I don't know who it was, but the guy who helped Jesus carry the cross. Like they were like in the story, they were like, what's it?
No, I was just saying, yeah, right. I'm not well versed in the Bible and all the names.
I'll look it up. I'm sure we've all heard the name, I'll look it up.
But yeah. But they were like, they were shocked to find out that it was actually his job to help carry the cross because
it was heavy.
Whoever was being crucified needed to make it to the destination alive, and he didn't want to help them. But they've sainted this guy as if he helped Jesus, you know. So there
Simon
were funny
of
stories.
Cyrene?
Yes, yes, Simon of Cyrene.
I never heard that. I thought I would have recognized it, but I never heard that.
They were saying things like everybody wore a crown of thorns. It was a normal thing, so it was hard to find Jesus when they were looking for him during the crucifixion. And
well, they dialed it into the crucifixion and they were trying to find him. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they said that they could tap into somebody's energy signature, and when they did find their energy, they could just watch, not through their eyes, but just watch them. And so they found Jesus and they followed him doing a bunch of things.
I wonder if the thing you see is like Predator's heat signature. Like you can't really make out forms.
Right. So it was in black and white and it was on a TV because they used a TV to like input it or to output.
It's like particles. Like I'm picturing like, I don't know, just particles forming like a man. You know, I don't know why I'm conceptualizing how they.
Oh my gosh. Time out. I'm sorry. I had myself pinned since the intro. So you've been just watching me the whole time. I'm sorry. Anyways. But yeah, so they followed and learned. Yeah, the crucifixion, the resurrection. And so that's
what did they
write?
What did they learn? What did they learn?
I mean, they watched it. And so they learned details that were wrong, that the church had wrong.
Got it. Like that everyone wore a crown of thorns. That's what you were saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And that Simon, yeah, I don't know why it would just be him. Was it just him, the idea, because he was like the king of the Jews or something?
Yeah.
What was the deal with? Okay. Uh-huh.
So they could also essentially use it like a sports almanac and start making bets.
Yes. They never talked about going into the future, but why not?
I'll tell you why not. Because the energy hasn't been set out of the universe yet. Unless you believe in the flat circle time thing and that everything that's happened already, everything that will happen already. I don't know. But this ties into like what most people say when they think about ghosts, which is like, yeah, maybe it's just like a kind of like residual psychic energy that's like happening again or whatever. It sounds a lot like that's just what this is, right? But it's a machine
just
where they can dial it in
a different way.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Energy echo
cool.
Reader.
Is there any explanation on like what the actual science is, or is that all under lock and key?
Let's see. It took the form of a large cabinet equipped with a cathode ray or picture tube boasting an array of buttons and levers. The device allowed its operator to select both the desired temporal and spatial location for observation.
Now you need coordinates.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it's weird to have coordinates on a moving Earth. That's all, you know, not only spinning, but so did the coordinates work based just on the planet or? It's crazy.
Well, but the coordinates of Earth are always the same if you're on Earth, right? Like latitude, longitude kind of deal.
Yeah,
but not its position in space. There are also time coordinates that you would need.
Right. Well, I mean, these guys sound smart, so maybe they would just account for that. They would be like, well, if this was 2,000 years ago, the Earth would have been here, so let's nudge it that way or something, you know?
Funny to think about a church burning people for suggesting Earth is not the center of the universe is now using space coordinates.
Oh,
also,
shit. We gotta hide
like,
this.
It sounds like witchcraft. Like it sounds so much like witchcraft that they're like, we're tapping into the energy of the past. Like, I don't know. That just doesn't sound like a Catholic Christian kind of thing.
So here's the deal. He never tried to tell anybody that this was real. He ran into some priest that they befriended each other and had the same views on, you know, how people shouldn't take the Bible literally. And they just had a connection. And so this guy that met Ernetti, they kicked it off. And so this was the guy that wrote the book.
They hit it off.
They kicked off the hit. You know how they say that. And,
yeah. They kicked off their friendship. They're like, we really hit it off. Let's kick off this friendship.
The only reason why he revealed any of this stuff to him is because they kicked it off so well. And so he wrote the book about him. And so at this point, Ernetti was never trying to tell anybody about it because they had already decided, the church decided and them that this is too powerful. Whoever was in charge of this thing could really create a dictatorship because they could just tell people what happened and make up new facts or whatever. So they dismantled it and they kept the plans and the pieces in the Vatican and one other place in Rome. But
they scattered it.
At this point, it wasn't real, right? Nobody believed it. Nobody was trying to get the story out. But when the story did start to come out.
Hang on. I'm sorry. Real quick. The church paid for this and then they destroyed it and scattered it.
Yeah. In my version, they told them that they did that and they just put it together and ran it on their own without all these people involved.
They're just typing in the coordinates of young boys showering.
Well, we can move him over here. He doesn't get caught. So I think that them putting in the Vatican is them going like, okay, well, we can only use it. We can't have a group of people using it for us. We got to do it ourselves kind of thing.
You know, sure. Well, it's proprietary. They paid for it.
So the story got leaked and then Ernetti tried to prove that it was real by pulling out a picture of Jesus during the crucifixion.
Wait, so they recorded what they were seeing as well?
I think that they could, I don't know how, but I think they could somehow do little printouts or something. Or maybe they took a picture of the screen. I don't know.
You pop in a VHS tape and just like record over something like your wedding tape or something.
Remember, it was the crucifixion.
It was Betamax at the time. And they're just like, oh man, we really wish the VHS wouldn't have won that war.
Put the Scotch tape over that little square peg so you can keep recording.
Ay, Dios mío. Why, that's Spanish.
Italian and Spanish, they probably say that. It's kind of similar.
So at some point, Ernetti came out and had a picture of Jesus. This is where it all falls apart because somebody was like, oh, wait, this is the same picture of Jesus that you could buy at this gift shop. So like, oh, shit, it's fake. Whole thing's fake. None of it's real. So to me, there's two versions. There's three versions. Yeah, it was fake. But the other two fun versions are, one of them is he wanted people to believe in it. So he pulled that out, hoping that would help people believe because they had already squashed it. It's like, no, this is real. Like we could turn it back on. You know, we should do this. And then the other version is that somebody leaked that photo to make it seem fake to everybody so they could keep running it.
Put out the postcards first. So then it looks like,
Yeah, there's nothing real about this. It's all bullshit. Okay, let's see what really happened.
It is a pretty bad con if your picture of Jesus is just something that you stole from. Like, if you're going to con a bunch of people, if this is a fake thing and you're going to con a bunch of people and be like, here's the photo that we took of Jesus, like, go create your own photo. Don't steal it from the gift shop.
A gift shop,
right?
Yeah, especially.
That's probably right outside.
Right. And like, so whether he was whether he had a PhD in physics or not, he studied physics. He was a smart guy. He was a priest. He was, so this is a funny thing, too. He was the Catholic Church's like biggest exorcist. And he has all these credits that are like very impressive to prove that the church believed in him. But when you go to his Wikipedia, it's like embarrassingly lame. I could make a better Wikipedia. And I have to back all this shit up, but I'm just going like nothing is.
What's the guy? What's the guy's name?
I mean, maybe he made it.
Pellegrino Ernetti.
Could it be possible that he was bored and just needed something fun in his life? Because, I mean, if you're exercising demons one day and then there really isn't anyone possessed to work on for a long time, you're kind of like looking for something, right?
He never pushed the story. He didn't get any fame from it. He didn't write.
Well, he's not saying that he pushed the story. He's saying that like he got bored and he was like, what is the deal? Like, let's put our place. We'll put ourselves in his shoes. You're exercising all these people. But there's really no proof that they're, you know, it's
what is
like,
this energy? What's happening?
Yeah,
are you possessed?
Exactly.
Is there something there?
So you create this kind of thing where you're like tapping into the same sort of energy that you're dealing with, maybe, and you kind of come up with this completely other thing. Maybe he was looking for, you know, demons and how they travel around and get into people or something like that. But he just happened to to do a time machine instead.
I mean, it's pretty fascinating. Like, I don't buy his Wikipedia page, especially after all this stuff. People would try to edit it and add things to it. And it's just like, eh, he was this. He was this.
You think his page is stripped down on purpose?
Yeah. And so it adds to the mystery of, like, you know, I mean, it's weak, right? I don't have a Wikipedia page, but mine would be better.
Yeah, but you're also a present day guy. I mean, the guy died before the internet kind of really took off. So, like, the whole thing with Wikipedia is you have to back it all up. And so when it's like this, especially when it comes to Catholic Church, where they're like, you know, there's, you know, what's the word called? burying shit, whatever the word is for burying shit. Like, you don't want to fuck with the Catholic Church. Like, you can't have some shit on Wikipedia without the Catholic Church suing you, right?
Yeah.
It's stripped down, but yeah, it says that it says without citing that he would later go back on this. It says he claimed to have invented a time machine called Chronovisor. However, he would later go back on this, but there's no citation. So you should make an edit that says citation needed for that. You know, I mean, do your own work for Wikipedia. It's user created.
Yeah. And if anything, it would support or not support my idea that somebody's editing the editing.
It's really interesting, man. And like, yeah, I can't, especially if he's not the guy who was like putting all this shit out there. It's hard to be like, oh, well, he was just a fraud who was exercising people. Because the other side of that coin is like, oh, I have to continue exercising people, even though it's a huge fraud made up by us. So I'll invent this other thing that like is also similar energy based stuff. But he didn't do any of that. He just kind of like it was like his hobby that happened to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's hard to be skeptical about it.
A lot of times when it comes to the paranormal claims, it's usually quickly thereafter that whatever person or family has something, they monetize it. They somehow are making money, whether it's like people paying to see Jesus's face that formed in their tiles.
Yeah. Yeah. The anytime it's crying and it's like, oh, that's actually sewer water.
People usually, that's the next step. Somehow they're making money off it, or they're doing a talk show tours or writing a book. This guy didn't seem to. He wasn't pressing it. He wasn't making money off of it.
Well, the only thing that you could say is that this guy, this other guy who wrote the book and kind of like put it out there is totally full of shit, right? And he just did it to like sell some books or something.
Right.
I mean, what a great story. You're a sci-fi writer who's also a priest, but like you're mixing the reality world to sell some, but nobody's heard of the book also. Oh, anyway. And that doesn't mean anything. You know, one idea I had was like, what if they were actually watching, instead of watching real things, they were watching broadcast TV from the future, tapping into radiation. So they were watching shows of things, you know, like.
Just watching all the reruns of shows. I'm like, oh, this is what happened to Jesus. And it's like, no, you're just watching The Chosen.
As soon as I heard the stories of, oh, yeah, you know, like the crucifixion, he came back a few days later. I'm like, wait, you watched the resurrection, you know, like it's out the window for me. I can't get into that. I think that Jesus may have been a man that they stole ideas from, but I think most of the stories are wrong about this dude. And they, you know, I'm the hippie version where it's like, here's a dude that was enlightened trying to tell you how to unlock the kingdom of heaven within yourself.
Right.
And it was all doctored to fit a religion. But anyways, it's hard for me to listen to the crucifixion and the resurrection and take any credibility to that. But I do think that there may be some truth to that. So let's say you could build a machine that could tap into something. When I picture them trying to capture the aura of Jesus, I'm going like, well, what if somehow their projection is creating something that they could tap into too. So they're actually reading their own brains or something. I don't know. I mean, because nothing's
influenced by the observers also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Man, what a fascinating concept.
The people that they supposedly worked on this, you know, I'm just going like,
are there any other events that it says they watched?
there was some old play that was lost in time, and they watched the play happen. I forget who it was.
It's kind of interesting to tap into the people who had control of this potential science and what they chose to watch. It was Jesus, Mussolini, and a play.
Yeah, well, the Mussolini thing was like there was a list of like things that they had video of, so they wanted to watch it to see if it matched the video. That was like kind of their proof of like, okay, yeah, we saw this. This is what it looked like. This was the real event.
Right. All right. But then they watched a Loft play.
It would be interesting to go back and see if Shakespeare really wrote those plays, right? Like, because that's contested that Shakespeare is one man, and it's supposed to be that he's like a bunch of different guys or something. He just gets credited with everything.
Yeah,
but also maybe they were just like, we're bored. Let's watch a TV show. Only it's going to be a play that no one's ever seen before.
Oh yeah. Status. They're like, let's see something that no one else has seen.
Right. Right. It's like watching the director's cut of a movie that got buried, you know?
I guess it's like anything, you know, you watch so much, even though it's historical events in the past and it's so fascinating to see it through this technology, it would get boring after a while. It's like, change the channel. Let's watch a play. Here's some music.
I think I would immediately go back as far as I could and try and watch dinosaurs, right? But then, like, who knows if dinosaurs have, like, a different... Well, but they're not using... So they're just using the coordinates of the time and the place, right?
They say that they could do that, or they could follow a person.
Right, but not a dinosaur.
Yeah, yeah. And I will say, I'm not finding this on here, but I do remember that... For a hot second, when this guy wrote the book at first, it was hot news. People were like, until the picture was revealed, it was the thingy. So it was hot, but Ernetti wasn't trying to capitalize on this.
Do you know when the book was? Well, it must have been after Ernetti's death, right? So sometime in the 90s or something.
It was before his death. But I think that the list of people that worked on it happened after his death.
There was some stuff in 72 about it being publicized.
Yeah.
In rags.
That was when when they were like, oh, is this fucking the real thing? So let me see when the book came out.
I guess to me, what it says is if it's real, the Catholic Church buried it because not a lot of the Bible is matching up with it. Right.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like, we all know that. I mean, does anyone really think that the Bible is real?
Well, I know a bunch of churches that do. You know what I mean?
A lot of people do. I think if you had first like evidence of it being so wrong, yeah, you would kind of not want that to stick around, right? You wouldn't want that getting out.
I guess. I feel like the Catholicism, Christianity in general, like the message is be a better person, right? Like follow these rules that we've set up. I always thought as a kid that these are old wives' tales. Like I never thought that any of it was supposed to be real. Like a guy gets swallowed by a whale. It all just sounds like, you know, moral mythology. Like
I would get in arguments with my youth pastor, like, well, what if it was a big fish? They didn't have the whale classification back then. Like, no, it says it's a whale. And I'm going like, I was trying to bust it all the time, you know, but
if you had technology like this that worked, you could spin anything to your favor. And there's a lot of power in that. You wouldn't have to back it up with evidence. You would have to back it up with at least a little bit of evidence to prove to the public that you have this thing and it works. But then from that moment on, you could start spewing anything about the past inaccurately, and yeah, people would start to believe you.
Yeah. And so and here's the weird thing. What power do you get from telling the world it's real? You know, like who? I feel like that it got leaked and then they tried to bury it because it takes away all their power. Well, let's see it. Let's watch the crucifix. Let's watch this thing.
Yeah. If you could confirm Bible stories, you would think that would get a lot more converts. You would get more people to the faith.
Yeah, you could have turned the whole world into Catholics from watching the crucifixion.
But now, maybe it is bullshit because
It just kind of seems like bullshit, because why couldn't someone recreate this? Why wouldn't any of these other guys, why wouldn't Wernher von Braun or any of these other guys just like make another one?
That's one of my things, is that like von Braun was responsible for getting Apollo to the moon. So like, if this were real, let's just say it was, and he came over and headed NASA, he would have all of the funds and resources to make it again.
Right.
And why wouldn't they? So the Vatican and secret American military has one.
Maybe they discovered that there's no monetary gain in the past or something. Like, I don't know.
If it were real, and you know, my conspiracy alternate history brain says, well, you could go back and look at these ancient civilizations and learn their technology. Because
You could go back like a couple of days when your girlfriend said that you said something that you didn't say, you know, and you could rewatch it and be like, look, fuck you.
Maybe they got tired of reviewing the tape and seeing that they actually did say the thing that their wives told them that they said. And they're like, no, we need to dismantle this technology. It's too damning.
Excuse me, General. Can I borrow the chronovisor? I seem to be in a bit of a pickle right now.
But it also doesn't even sound hard to recreate. I mean, I know we don't know what it was made of, but it's like a couple fucking TV tubes, right? Like it just doesn't seem like you would need a lot of money to redo it. I don't know.
This last article I read said there were some mysterious metals. And I'm like, okay, well, mercury, that's probably one of them. You know, it's mysterious.
But why didn't anyone, when these guys were still alive, why didn't anyone ask them about it? You know, because they were still alive when it, not just this priest, but like the other guys involved. No one ever went to him and been like, hey, you're alleged to have like created this thing. Like, what's up with it?
In the 70s, this was huge, you know, 72. Right. It's like, hey, here's a picture of Jesus.
Like, no journalists. I'm just wondering if the only things that covered it were those like rags that sit in the.
I will say the names of the people involved were only brought up after they were dead. So they couldn't confirm that Wernher von Braun was in it or anything.
Oh,
So I think that those names came up in the 90s. When the book was written, there was one book that came out in 2000, but I think there was an earlier one in the 90s.
Outside of dinosaurs, I feel like I would use it just to watch a bunch of. I don't know if I would, though. I'm trying to figure out, like, I have a really bad memory. I don't remember a lot of my life, right? Probably because it's just boring and there's no reason to remember it.
Same with me,
but it would
or
be
I'm drunk,
would,
you know. Like,
it would be fun to just kind of go back to like a random day in third grade and just like see what you did.
Yeah,
just to be like, what kind of guy was I? You know,
I picture that you know, your life races before your eyes, going like, well, I'd like to experience that before the moment of death. So,
well, maybe like, that's why it happens when you die, because you would cringe so hard if you saw everything that you did. When you're younger, I'll read an email that I wrote from 6 months ago and be like, oh my God, what was I thinking? Like, I can't imagine like watching my life and just like going like, no,
that would kill me. Watching myself from in my 20s, that would just be unwatchable.
I know, dude. I know.
Insufferable.
So thankful. I am always thankful we didn't have internet back then. I would have been, you know, in trouble. Anyways, the chronovisor was built in
because
the
50s. Of your rampant racism when you were 20. What do you mean?
No, just like just getting into trouble. I you know, I wasn't racist. I didn't get into fights. I didn't talk shit on people. But like,
how's that? But like, what would you have done in your 20s on the internet? Which we did have, by the way, in their 20s. Are you? Do you mean in high school?
No, I mean more social media. Like, if I could, like. You know, I would take a potato gun and shoot people's houses. You know, like I would destroy things and get in trouble, you know.
Oh, like, do you think you would have videotaped it and put it online?
The people that do those things, they have a disconnection as to them it being attached to them. So I think the early days would definitely like screw you over.
Yeah, dissociation.
What would you guys use it for if you had it? Like, what would you watch? I would watch dinosaurs. If that's possible, I would watch dinosaurs.
I would watch Atlantis.
Yeah, oh, I would watch the pyramids getting built.
Well, hang on. Okay, pyramids, we know where those are. Atlantis, we don't really know. So how would you find it?
Right. How would you pinpoint the radiation of something that you don't know?
It's existed? The Rashad structure. So we know where it is.
You'd have to do some math or whatever Willie's talking about. Atlantis would be cool. I mean, it might be fun to just watch the Romans for a little bit.
It would be cool to just watch some loser. I'm like, I'm not judging. I'm a loser, but like, just watch somebody who didn't do anything. Like, why?
Well, just a guy. Just a guy. Like, watch. Just watch some guy during the Roman Empire who's just there. You know,
just everything happening around him. He has all these opportunities coming his way. He just doesn't take any of them. He's like, oh, I'm good, man.
I got my bread stand. I'm good.
But Egypt, that would be fascinating to watch.
Egypt would probably be fascinating.
Probably be the number one choice.
Also, you know, like, I can't think of their names. Not the Incas, but the big civilization that disappeared.
The Mayans?
The Mayans. They're like, oh, they all starved. We can't find them. They must have starved.
Well, you know what the problem is, though, is like there's no fast forward. So you would be watching it in real time and it'd be like, God damn, like what, fucking get to it, man.
Maybe that's how the Mayans starved, is they had this technology and they were watching some other ancient civilization. But in real time, like, fuck, we forgot to eat.
Did you guys plant any crops this year? Because I didn't. I was watching the Chronovisor.
I thought that was your job this week. I was watching this schmo in Rome do nothing.
He had the world in his hand and he let it slip through his fingers. Okay. Well, we should kind of wrap it up. Any kind of final thoughts on this?
It's pretty fascinating. It's a fascinating idea of how to read radiation of the past, somehow get that in. Like, if that information is probably still available, it falls in line with the idea of the Akashic records, where it's like everything that happened to anybody that is sentient is somehow recorded. You know, that's pretty cool. Also, a lot of people say that when you try to read those records, the person reading it is influenced by their perception of what's happening. And like, that's pretty fascinating to be like, my perception of what's happening will skew the event. Yeah. If you believe that the crucifixion happened, maybe you can skew the event to watch it happen, even though it didn't, kind of thing. So I love the sci-fi aspects of this coming together.
Well, maybe if you also bring in the belief of multiverse, maybe you're tapping into a different version of that history, and it has nothing to do with your perception of it. It's just multiverse, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well said. I don't, that's like, maybe everyone had the crown of thorns because they were watching a different universe where everyone had crown of thorns, you know, instead of ours.
That was the fashion at the time.
Yeah, it feels good. And like, the pain is where blood is fashion, man. I don't know, like some kind of sadistic fucking thing. Like women with high heels, like that can't feel good, right?
Yeah, the Chinese binding. It's like, oh, you know, my foot sucks now, but people like the way it looks.
That African neck stretching thing and stuff like that. Crown of thorns were all the rage in Jesus's time.
I'm gonna bring it back. It's definitely fascinating. There's an aspect to it that I can't quite wrap my head around, and it's what all of the, if something like this existed, is all of the implications of it, the uses of it, and how you could exploit it into different ways. And I don't think any of them are good. I just can't think of any specific way to utilize information like this, because my brain doesn't think that way. I think I'm pretty naive in some ways, but it's fun to think about for sure.
Yeah, I think, if this thing existed earlier when I said there's no monetary gain to be had from it, I just meant more like on a government, but a government-wide scale, like a worldwide scale, but like, if you invented a thing that could make you, that could allow you to watch any point in the past, everybody would buy that, right? Just for curiosity. So like, yeah. I don't know, somebody missed out on like a $1 billion idea if it was real.
I mean, knowing humans, I think they would instantly turn it into porn uses.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Like, why watch porn when you can watch Caesar fucking?
Yeah, right.
I mean, you could, yeah, you could.
They're uncensored.
Let's go back to, let's go back to, who's the burn at the cross, lady? Not the cross, burn at the stake lady.
Yeah. Not the legend of Billie Jean, but
Joan of Arc. Right?
Joan of Arc.
Because don't people say she's like not hot or whatever? It'd be nice to tune it back and be like, was Joan of Arc hot? Or even Cleopatra, just like turn it back and be like, let's watch Cleopatra fuck and find out if she's really hot or not.
Oh my God. Do you remember Hot or Not? I think that was in the 90s or early 2000s. It was a website. Yeah. The Chronos visor would just be.
Hot or not. In real life. Let's go into 1546. Hot or not.
Finding the hottest woman in each decade of all the past. I mean, that'd be great. Then you could do like, you could do That's Real Miss Universe.
Facebook's, isn't that what Facebook originally was? It was just a,
it was supposed to be. Yeah. It was just, it was grading Harvard chicks, basically.
Well, we have our answer. The Chrono Advisor just turned into Facebook.
Yeah. So we know what evil it becomes.
Cathodes and rays and mysterious metals.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. I get 2 bonus episodes a week. We're going to continue this conversation, but Ian, you got to dip out, right? So
bounce.
Let's point everyone to all your socials, Snack to the Future. Shout out the handle again.
It's DMCBTTF.
So check him out. Check out his food reviews. His ratio of meat to cheese might be suspect, but that's subjective. So is it all fast food or do you ever just get some sweet tarts or something?
And no, I actually don't do fast food. I try to aim for non-chain restaurants. I'll do local stuff. You know, if they have like a 2 or 3 restaurants around, that's fine. But I try to give shout outs to the things that are around. And so it's mostly restaurant establishments. I'm sure I'll do like true snacks at some point that you can get from the grocery store.
Well,
and
before
love all these smash burger places popping up. It's so good. But go on.
What's your number one L.A. snack that you've tasted?
I became obsessed with this butterbeer chocolate bar. I took my son to see Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, and at the concession stand they had this butterbeer flavored chocolate bar, and it was freaking delicious. I've been obsessed with that since.
I will say I 100% agree. We bought some butterbeer Hershey Kisses.
Oh, you found them?
I don't think anybody else had one. I just fucking ate them all within like 2 nights. I was like, fuck, I'll have another one. Well, why not? Why shouldn't I have one right now?
What is it? Is it just chocolate with butter in it? Or like what does it taste like?
It's like a butterscotch chocolate.
Okay.
It's butterscotchy, but there's hints of other stuff in there. I don't know what. I would think maybe vanilla. Where did you even find the Kisses? I can't find them anywhere. They're sold out.
Somebody got them for us and we don't, Moose didn't like it. So I cashed in. I got to find out where we got
it. Probably a limited thing and you'll never be able to get them again.
Probably not. I can watch them on the Chronovisor. I can watch other people eat them.
You watch me sneaking them in the kitchen.
His face looks a lot like my face looked. I'm remembering. What's the best burger though?
Oh, man, there's so many different ones out there, to be honest.
Your personal.
Oh, I dig In-N-Out. In-N-Out's great. But I will say, if you're looking for something different, try Black Sheep Burger off of Sawtelle. They do some interesting stuff. They have like a katsu sushi burger with it. It's like a California roll on a burger. And they have another one that's like a hot dog and a hamburger together. And it's just... Mwah.
Really? Okay. Sounds gluttonous. It's not too much.
No, it's not. But everything's very balanced.
Cool, man. All right. So everyone check out Ian's stuff and yeah, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Oh, wait, what's the sign off? Got it. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time.
Hey.